So today is our last Sunday before Lent begins, because Ash Wednesday is this coming Wednesday as we approach Lent, and then the time of Lent, and of course leading up to the death and resurrection of Jesus on Easter. And so on this last Sunday of ordinary time, the providence of God has given us one theme, and that theme is leprosy. That is the big theme of the day. It's in the first reading. It's talked about in the gospel with the healing. And so it's all about leprosy. And so, of course, first of all, what is leprosy? Some of us might know a little bit about it. We heard some of the description in the first reading. Leprosy is an infectious disease that takes over the body and can cause blotches, scabbing, skin to peel and bleed. It causes a lot of your nerves in your bodies to become numb or not to work. And so you lose feeling certain parts of your body, like your feet or your hands. Your body parts can become disfigured. You can have large feet or large hands, or you could have some disfigurements on your face. As well as eventually with leprosy, you lose part of your vision and your hearing. And since it is an infectious disease, it is transmittable via contact with a person who has leprosy, or through like their saliva or blood, something like that. And we think leprosy is a disease that only existed, you know, thousands of years ago, but there still currently are lepers in our world today. In fact, in the U.S. alone, there's about 2,400 cases of leprosy each year. But due to modern medicine, you can take medicine pills and you lose the effects. You look normal, you don't get the bleeding or the disfigured body parts or the loss of hearing or vision. And also, due to modern medicine, it's not transmittable through this treatment. In fact, a couple of years ago, I was blessed to go to Hawaii and go to an island called Molokai. And Molokai was a leper colony for over a century, and still is. And so what they would do before this modern medicine in the 1800s is, if someone was diagnosed with leprosy from different parts of the world, they would put them on a boat, bring them to Molokai, a Hawaiian island. They would throw them off the side of the boat because the people transporting them did not want to get in contact with the lepers on the island. So they would just throw them off the side of the boat, say good luck to swim in, which is very dangerous, all the rocks and everything. And then they would go and be secluded by themselves with other lepers until they eventually died. And over that century and still today, that Molokai Island has housed over 8,000 lepers. And so I went there a couple years ago, and there still are 16 residents, and six of them live there full-time, so I was able to interact with the lepers. And of course, because of the medicine, there's no danger. But these readings, the gospel, is written 2,000 years ago. Leviticus is written about 3,500 years ago. That's a long time. You know, we're blessed to live to be 70, 80, or 90, if we're lucky. And so 2,000 years and 3,500 is quite some time ago before modern medicine. And so what they do is, if you were diagnosed with leprosy, you would have to leave everything. You have to depart from your family, depart from your friends, leave the community, because you can't contaminate them, you can't give them the illness. And then if you did go into town, you would have to make it very public. You tear up your clothes, you cover your beard, you let your head show, and as you're walking through town, you have to shout, "Unclean! Unclean! Unclean!" The reason for this is because people are in the marketplace, they're buying food, they're with their children, they're with their family, and they need to be made aware that you're coming down the street and that you have leprosy. So that when they hear unclean, they can go, "Kids, we gotta go. We gotta get out of here. That person has leprosy, they're contagious. We don't want to get the illness and die." So total isolation. And when I was praying about this leprosy and this having to leave the society and being isolated, What came to my mind was actually my mother's illness before she died a couple months ago. And I've talked a little bit about her death. So she was diagnosed with leukemia about 4 months before she died, and a very rare form of leukemia. And leukemia affects your white blood cells. It attacks them and destroys them, and so you get a low white blood cell count. And your white blood cells is what gives you an immune system. And you need an immune system to live, obviously. You can't fight off sickness. And so, praise God, by His grace, she had no pain from the leukemia or even from the 10 days twice of the chemo. But when she was sent back home, and she was home for a couple months, the doctors told her very clearly, because you have leukemia, because you have no immune system, be very careful. They said, stay at home where it's safe. In fact, if you need to go shopping, you should really have one of your kids shop for you. You should do your shopping. You don't want to go out there. They're sick people. And he said, but if you need to go shopping, bare necessity, fine. But go at like 9 or 10 p.m. when there's less people. And if you might also want to put a mask on when you're there to protect yourself. They said, in fact, also, if there's a family party, one of your grandchildren celebrates their third or fourth birthday, you probably might want to consider not going, because one of the kids could be sick. You don't want to get that sickness, you could die. And so if you go, if you take that chance, you should probably wear a mask. And if someone starts coughing or sneezing, you need to leave, because you'd be in danger. And the doctor said, you know, when you're at home, make sure everything is perfectly clean. All the vegetables you get perfectly clean. When you cook your chicken, put a thermometer in it and check the temperature of the chicken so that you are not in danger. So for those few months when she was home, it was a bubble. She was isolated by family and friends. If one of my nieces and nephews got sick, they could not visit. If I was sick, I could not visit. She could not leave the home. Isolation. Eventually, the fear happened. She did get a sickness somewhere from somebody else. They sent her to the hospital. She had an infection in her lungs, which we all have this fungus going around our bodies, but we fight it off pretty easily. You wouldn't even notice. But for a person with leukemia, it can kill them. And it did. So for 5 days, they said that she would die from entering the hospital to then passing. And over those 5 days, of course, we were all there with her. And as she was isolated in the home, then she was isolated really in the hospital with us, her children. And the day before she died, we were all gathered around, my siblings and my uncles and aunts, her siblings. And one of my brothers said, why don't we go around the room? Mama's already out of it. She wasn't very present. He said, but why don't we go around the room and name and share a grace, something that was beautiful for my mother's life. You know, among death, let's see where the life was. So we started sharing graces. I mentioned vacations and how she never missed anything, whether it was a school performance or a soccer game or a little science fair at school. My brother got to him and he shared this story about when he was a little boy, he wasn't the best at school. He struggled a lot. And so my mom would kind of help him with all of his homework, tutor him. And often when they were doing work, he would say, Mom, I can't do this. I can't do this work. I'm not good enough to do this. She'd say, no, don't say that. Tell me you can do it. Right now, say you can do it. You say, no, I can't. I can't do it. I can't. She would say, stop that. Tell me right now that you can do it. He would say, I can do it. I can do it. She'd say, yes, you can. Never say you can't. He said, also, I struggle a lot with spelling and reading. And my mom had read this article that, you know, while you're sleeping, maybe subconsciously you can learn things. The idea, you know, like put on a tape and maybe like Spanish will like be infused into your brain, right? And so what she would do at night, he said, is he would wake up and he would find her while he was sleeping, whispering the spelling words into his ear so she could learn, so he could learn. And so he said, I learned from her that I could do it and that I shouldn't give up. As we kept going, my uncle said that his grandmother prayed 100 rosaries for every grandchild, which was my mother, to have a happy death. She kept a little piece of paper and would check it off. 100 rosaries for every grandchild to have a happy death. We shared the grace. The next day, with just her children gathered around her, she died in peace. It was beautiful. And it was a happy death. It was a beautiful death. She got mass every day because I'm a priest in the hospital. She got, as a gift, she got her sins forgiven. She got anointed. Had total peace. And so what is our entire goal for life? We all want to die and have every wound healed. When we die, every sin is removed in those sacraments. And then we meet the God of the universe. He heals our wounds. He grants every desire that we've been longing for. Every part of our heart that wanted to be loved. God loves us in that moment of our death. And we see Him face to face. That's a happy death. So her death, and death by definition because of that cross, is not a tragedy. Jesus Christ destroyed sin and death. That's what we hope in that we have been created by a good and loving God. He breathed us into existence for one fact, and that's to be loved. And He desires to love us for all of eternity. And so when He calls us home and we're forgiven of our sins, that is happiness. We rejoice. Thank you, God. What a gift that was. So that death was not a tragedy. What the tragedy was those moments of isolation. What the tragedy was for the leper was his isolation. That he could not be with family and friends, that his suffering kept him away from everyone. And so the biggest tragedy in our life is not that we're going to die. God willing, we go to confession, we receive His grace, we be loved, and we die and enter heaven. But the greatest tragedy is our isolation right now. And what isolates us is our sin and the places of our heart where we have no hope, where we have gone to despair and on the edge of depression. This is the greatest tragedy, isolation. And that is where we have to ask the Lord, where He wants to heal us. That's where we have our spiritual leprosy. And then the greatest tragedy of life is if this isolation continues for eternity. Because what is hell? Hell is total isolation. You're removed from everybody. There's no communion. And the worst part of it is you're not there for 30 seconds or a minute or a year. You're isolated for eternity. So what does isolate us? It's this sin and this despair. And so we can't be afraid today at Mass and this Lenten season and every day of our lives to name to God where our sin is and where He needs to make us clean. Because too often we do not share with God even our own sin. Our sin is so dark in the depths of our hearts at times that no one else, of course, even knows about it. We don't even want to talk about it with ourselves, and we're not going to even talk about it with God. So we go into prayer, we put on a mask, and we say, God, everything's great. We talk about everyone else. Heal this person, heal that person. But we never talk about our own brokenness or our own sin. We say, you already know it, why talk about it? No, but the leper had to go to Him and say, make me clean. And so we have to name to God where our sin resides. We cannot put on the mask. We have to take it off. We have to name our sin and recognize it. What we often do, and we do name it once in a while, we say, God, I'm a sinful man. I need to make myself clean. Good luck. On our own accord, we have no ability. Our words of saying everything's great or I'll feel good tomorrow, I don't need confession, I'm okay, I talk to God by myself. Those words of ours, I don't know about you, it's never changed me. I haven't met anyone that said, yeah, I just talked and convinced myself into happiness. That's only a grace from God. God has to give us the grace. And so how do we apply this? How do we be cleansed? How do we be actually relieved of our sin and removed from that despair and removed from the isolation, we have to go to prayer every day. We need to be specific in our prayer. What do I mean? Is a person who has a huge wound on their leg, who is bleeding out, they don't go to the doctor and the doctor says, "Hey, what's wrong with you?" You go, "You know, doc, I just don't feel good." "Oh, great, okay, well, what doesn't feel good?" "I don't know, I just got this pain in my body. I think I got a little cough or something." "Yeah, but where is the issue? Where is the pain residing?" "Oh, I've got this huge cut in my leg. Did you see that?" "Oh, that's what we need to fix. That's where we need to go, that big bloody wound you got." Too often we're general. And so we have to go to prayer every day and be specific. "God, I have a chronic sin of gossip. And you need to make me clean." Why? Because it's not just gossip, but I just want people to hear me. I need to be heard. And so heal this desire of just wanting to be heard by others. "Or God, I have this deep, dark sin, this broken, this emotional affair, this physical affair, this thing that I do when I close the doors at night and I have these terrible thoughts, and God, free me. Don't just heal this sin, but I need you to love me in my emotions, in my desires, in the intimate parts of my heart. Love me. Or God, I have no hope for my marriage. It's falling apart. You can't just say, heal my marriage. No, get deep. God, what you need to heal is neither of us know how to communicate. Neither of us know how to love the other. And so give us love. God, I lost my job. I feel hopeless as a man or a woman because I don't have a job anymore. And what is that? God, I lost my worth. Give me my worth back." And so we have to go daily to the God of the universe and say, "Make me clean. Only you can heal me." And this must be our prayer daily. Step one is total, complete honesty. God can only heal us if we give Him the truth, and then He heals us in that truth. And so let's make that our prayer as we go to the Eucharist, as we receive the God of the universe. Because Jesus Christ did not come to isolate you. He came to free you, and the truth will set you free. And so ask God now, and ask God every day where you're isolated, where you've lost hope, and where your sin resides. Be specific and say, "Make me clean." And if God is who He claims to be, then He will not fail us. Only a mean God would say no. But a good and loving God, which is the God we worship, will say, "My son, yes, my daughter, be made clean, and then you'll be free."